Explosion. In your face. Well, a bit of a rupture in the leather world with Honey Davenport, a wonderful drag artist, singer, actor, non-binary performer, winning International Mr. Leather in Chicago. On the line to give us a bit of an analysis of what happened is Dina Khoury, Q News Victoria editor, and also, of course, Frock Hudson, a drag performer who relishes the fetish world and the leather world. Dean, welcome back to 3CR.
Thanks for having me. I was about to say, also very much a leather and kink person and entertainer as well too. So
absolutely,
I straddle both these words well.
You really do. And that's why you've got such unique insights into Honey's win, because it was extraordinary, wasn't it? I mean, Honey was Miss Stonewall in 2015. They were in season 11 of Drag Race, RuPaul's Drag Race. They won 18 drag pageants between 2013 and 2018. They toured the US with Hairspray. They're also a musician in the band
Electro
Honey.
They also won a leather title in America, and then they spent a year, you know, representing that title in their own community and in a great way for people of colour in the leather and fetish community, which was really wonderful, and then won IML. So it's that interesting thing is we can all dive into the drag side of it because that's a large part of that portion of what we see in the world, but there's also the other side to that with Honey, and Honey in the competition was an amazing representative. But even before that, I've been following and chatting with Honey because they've been a wonderful representative for their leather and fetish community and the broader community as well. So it doesn't shock me that Honey won the competition. I mean, IML is a really interesting competition. You know, an international leather competition always has a certain position and focus, and it always seems interesting when people see their masculinity threatened. But it was a well-worthy and wonderful win, but it's really interesting the discourse that's come out of that from what I like to call from fragile male egos.
Yeah, it has been really, really interesting, and a lot of people have been triggered by the controversy because, let's face it, Honey did deserve this win. I mean, that performance was extraordinary when that leather coat kind of turned into that amazing kind of almost parasol. They made that themselves.
To give you an idea for description for listeners, you know when you see really awesome drag from Priscilla and they do the frill neck of the frill neck of the lizard? Honey did that same thing in a beautiful leather trench coat that then became what I like to call a giant leather rosebud, as a way of putting it. And it was really beautiful and amazing artistry to see using leather.
And they're an activist as well. I mean, they spoke out about racism at New York City gay bar, The Monster. They've spoken out about police brutality in Harlem in New York City, where they're from. They led the We Vote parade in New York City in 2018 ahead of the midterms. And, of course, they now live in Palm Springs, and they won Mr. Palm Springs Leather, which, of course, catapulted them into IML.
Yes.
Dean, there's been a lot of debate online about it, and I saw your post on Facebook because you've also performed in that domain, as you said. You've done a lot of drag in the kink and leather space, and you have, you know, you've had some pushback. You talked about
100%.
That online, and so you must really relate to the debate about Honey.
Well, specifically in the way that it has represented towards Honey, I do. So what happened when Honey won is that it seemed to be majority white individuals, leather individuals, started commenting, not a drag queen winning, not, oh, what do you mean a drag queen? This has all gone this way, that and the other. Because for them, the idea of leather has always sat in a certain amount of masculinity, in a certain frame and shade. That's something I've experienced for more than a decade of my life. I only started doing drag 10 years ago, but before that, when I was doing things within the fetish community, that was still something that I experienced in the same way. Because for a lot of people, leather and fetish has been about gatekeeping in a certain way that they do and how, and a masculine representation. But even here within Australia, we've had amazing ambassadors for leather and fetish who don't identify, I just want to give a beautiful example, identify in one specific frame. The amazing Lori Lane is one of them, an absolutely beautiful human, an amazing leather maker, has been a great representative for us overseas and within our own country, and is camp as hell. And I know as well within our communities, you know, people think leather is this Tom of Finland aesthetic or something like that. But after doing years of events and being a part of community at the Laird, some of the campest, most non-masculine individuals are some of the best leather men and people that I've ever known.
The international Mr. Leather template has now been really, really changed, you know, for the better, because it is more diverse, it is more gender inclusive now. Honey identifies as non-binary. Do you think that international Mr. Leather, the actual organisation, not the title, but the governance model, the people behind it actually need to look at their model now, because they seem to have two streams. They seem to have the Mr. Leather contestants who are representing, you know, gay bars in suburban areas, in city areas. And then they have representatives from other pageants where people from, you know, around the United States compete, where they have more professional contestants as opposed to the grassroots community volunteer contestants. Do you think IML actually needs to look at its model now?
I don't think in that way. The reality is everyone enters IML under the same strategy and space and with the same details. Everyone has to enter in the same alignment. Some people have, and like with any pageant, which it is, you know, there's no harm in calling IML a pageant. It's a leather pageant, and that's okay. But I think the difference is the fact that some people choose to not see it that way, and therein lies that problem. But something that's amazing about IML, especially coming out of COVID, and especially in the last few years, is the way they have pushed as an organisation for making sure there's visibility and space for trans and non-binary individuals in there and in that organisation and on that stage. And that came about from community standing up when they didn't like and see the actions of and comments of certain individuals who were a main part of the foundation of IML in recent years, and they were asked to step away, and they really have done that governance. But from a competition perspective, honestly, if you know anything about these kind of pageants, there are a certain set of rules. As long as you fit within them, tick, may the odds be ever in your favour. You know, the judging is done in a very specific way, and I have my own thoughts about it, but I'm not a judge, so what can I say? But they have a criteria they want to fit and meet in regards to it. And it goes one way or another. We see a lot more diversity in leather now on that stage than we have before, whether that be accessories, colour, high heels, in so many ways and spaces. And it shows, in my opinion, a shift that we've seen in the world, I think, since COVID, in the way in which people are stepping into their power in the leather and fetish communities. I think COVID forced everyone to shut down a little bit more, and at least within our own community, it created this breathing room for people who never felt they had a space to step into it as well. And sure, we've had some rocky discourses in regard to it, but our community becomes stronger because of it.
You, of course, work at the Laird, not just at Q News Victoria, but you're an insider at the Laird. And the Laird this year put an enormous amount of energy and support into their leatherman, BB, who was a contestant at International Mr. Leather in Chicago. And I've got to say, because of BB's energy, because of their Fetish and Kink vodcast platform, F, and because of the way the Laird community has really supported them, BB, being a contestant in IML, got a huge amount of community support, but unfortunately they did not make the final. They didn't make the top 20.
They didn't make the top 20. They were in the final but didn't make the top 20.
So how gutted are folks at the Laird? Because it was a huge community campaign.
We're not gutted at all. Well, we didn't actually do a community campaign. That was just BB. So it's really easy to get behind a title holder that does so much in the community and does so much work. 90% of what we did was just sharing and asking how we could help. Sharing what BB did and asking how we could help. From a community perspective, we're just proud seeing BB get up there and represent himself in the most beautiful and authentic way he can. Like with all the Australian title holders that made their way there. You know, to say gutted, IML is an interesting beast. This year in the Mr. International Leather Competition, there were 69 competitors, and there can only be a top 20, and then there's a top 3. So who knows what the voting comes down to in so many ways and shapes. It would have been beautiful to have able to see any more of the one Australian title holder, Mr. Australian Leather 2025, Liam Clark, made it through to the top 20. It would have been great to see them all make it through to the top 20. I would have just loved to have heard BB's speech, because I think BB has an amazing power and an amazing story that more people in the community need to hear and see. And they can do that by listening to his VOD podcast, Platform F. But I would have loved it just because I think what BB puts into the world is beautiful, and I would love to see that shared more. But I think we got to see that in the response from the crowd when BB would step up or step into the spotlight on that stage, and the response from the crowd was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you were actually at a venue with Leather Community Insiders at 9 o'clock Monday morning of this week, watching the final. What was that experience like, especially when Honey Davenport won?
It was really wonderful. It was a really special thing for all of us to be able to see. We've done this for the last couple of years where we do live screenings, whether in Leather venues or spaces or community spaces, so that anyone who'd like to watch IML Live can come and do it. And it's a really beautiful thing. We're all a little bit tired. For some reason, the IML live stream always lets us stream up to a 1080p, but we can only look at it in 360, so it's always a little bit grainy. But it's a really special thing for us to all come together, eat some lollies, and watch our community members step up and do their thing.
Does Australia need to change its kind of, you know, approach for future international Mr. Leather contestants, if you like? Will it take someone like the alter ego of a Courtney Act or a Queen Kong to win it because of the pink ceiling that Honey Davenport has smashed through by winning?
I don't think Honey's smashed a pink ceiling. I'm going to reframe your question, actually, because drag as a subculture in our community has always been there, and so has leather and fetish. And many, many people in the leather and fetish community have also done drag, as we've seen this week with so many people sharing online images of themselves in their fetish and images of themselves in drag. The reason why this discourse has become so huge is because of the community stepping up going, we're not okay with this, we are this too. So I don't think it's about smashing or changing anything in that way. I think we're already seeing it. I think it already exists. I think, unfortunately, in the leather and fetish scene, there are some people who, I mean, look, like in the post that I put up online, gatekeeping has always been a huge part of it. We still see it in relation to people's bodies, their genders, their sexualities, their identities, you know, and in so many ways and shapes. Because for some people, that's what they need. They need it to be a certain thing that fits in a specific vein. But all of these things are about communities. They're not about whether you're white. They're not about whether you're muscly. It's about the community that you get to be a part of. Just because one person frames it that way doesn't mean it's the norm. And I think if we keep celebrating the diversity of our communities, the stronger we'll be.
It will be interesting, though. Do we need a Queen Kong or a Courtney Act to compete at IML? I mean, that would be wonderful.
I don't think I would, because neither of them are actually into leather. So the thing about IML, we don't need a Queen Kong, we don't need a Courtney Act. Our Australian representatives step up and do an amazing job. And the last few years, we've had great Australian representatives make the top 20. We've only ever had one Australian actually win IML. But the reality is, if I'm going to be frank, IML is not a competition that's set up in the same way as our local competitions. I love the competitions we have in our communities all around Australia that really celebrate and represent them in a really strong and beautiful way. And the American system is set up completely different to that. It's always a really interesting thing for our competitors to have to work and train to be a part of that, because it's the complete opposite to what we do. And we have had competitions that have tried to fit that mold in the competitions that they have in Australia, because they think it gives them the platform that the people could have at IML. But the truth is, it never works in that way. Better to celebrate what you have here and go over there and let them see you shine as well. Winning is not the point. Stepping up and being proud of who you are is.
And that's a really, really good point. But it does sound like there's a misalignment between the Australian model and IML, which actually disadvantages Australian contestants. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think of it that way, because this is an international competition that was started in America and set with a specific framework. If we wanted to work within the same framework, we could, but that doesn't mean that what we do in our communities matches what happens over there. Remember, there was a huge chunk of American competitors that didn't make the top 20 either. Every competition has its own set of rules and standards that represent and identify for what they need or want to be seen. We have ours, they have theirs. When our competitors go over to compete in theirs, they have to fit into the box that fits for theirs, just like anyone else would, and just like they would if they came here.
Does IML need to consider moving locations so it's a different country each year to kind of, you know, diversify things a bit?
Look, I don't think that's something that would ever actually happen. The reality is it's the base of Chicago. IML is a huge conference. It's not just a competition. It's a massive leather and fetish conference that has happened, I think, every year when it's happened at Chicago. It's never been anywhere else. And I don't think it would be nice or it would be crazy. I think it's a huge endeavour to even put that together in the first place. But then to flip it on the other end and go, let's try and put it all around the world. There's a reason why world competitions, sport things, everything's happened every 2 to 4 years, because it's such a huge endeavour to make it happen. Navigating that in relation to different countries is a different story, but the competition would always be the same. And the reality is it was formed and based in the US, and that's the foundation of where that sits. So just let that sit there, because while it's an international Mr. Leather competition, we all get to represent in our ways and shapes. We are a community, and that is a space for the community to come together. And it's wonderful that we have Honey Davenport as that title holder. But the narrative, like the title holder then is the best of the best of all of us for the year, is something that I've never prescribed to in relation to title holders. They're amazing people who have won that competition, and what they do with that title is absolutely up to them and their choice. But the communities are what make it. And I've never been to IML yet, but from what I've been told about everyone who goes every time, it's such an amazing and special conference to be a part of, and the community there is so vibrant and so much more than what you see on that stage, that let it be what it is instead of trying to take it down. Everything changes over time, and that organisation is really shifting in its space and way to make places for the diversity of our communities, and that's a wonderful thing. But I don't think we need to see IML travel around the world. Could you imagine? If it was in Hobart, it'd be a great thing for like a week or so. But what it would mean for the competition is a completely different endeavour. They'd probably need 30 more years to figure out how to do it.
Will we ever see you competing at IML? I mean, you're a fabulous performer. You've performed in the kink and drag spaces and you know, combine them for many years. You're a trailblazer in that space. You're an entertainer. You're, you know, very adept in leather. Can we see Dina Khoury competing in IML in the future? Because it seems like it's right up your alley.
The thing about the International Whistle Leather competition is you need to be a title holder.
Will you?
I will finish that. So you need to be a title holder to be able to advance into it, and at least within our local communities. When I have tried, like, let's be real, I produce these events and I put them on and I host a lot of them. There was a time when I wasn't doing that, and when I tried to actually enter, everyone else who was competing stepped out. Because they were like, it's a big thing for a person to do, to step in and want to represent the communities and put themselves out there. And the immediate assumption they had is, because I'm me, because I'm loud, because I do what I do, well, they obviously won't win. So they all stepped away. So I had to step away. And they all came back in and it was fine. But there's a reality that, for me, if I'm competing, I need to be able to use that title to do something more for what I'm already doing for my communities. Otherwise, I don't need to step into that space to do that. It needs to be more about getting that title. It means it's about how I can serve my community further. And every time I've thought about it, when I haven't been hosting or producing the competition, my first thought is it something I need to do what I'm doing? And if the answer is no, then I don't have to worry about it. People don't, it's a nice thing to be able to go and compete at IML, but they stand, anyone who, in all seriousness, competes and tries to win a local competition in the hope to get to IML, isn't going to win their local competition. It's about being your most authentic self in your community. And if that's what it is for you, we see that.
Absolutely. And I think you show real ethics with that. I mean, you're all about nurturing the community and supporting the community and producing and facilitating, you know, these events. So it would be kind of unethical, wouldn't it, if you kind of stepped in with all that expertise, because it would undermine the community grassroots aspect of it. So that's a really great point.
Hang on a second. That wasn't what I was saying, though.
No?
That's not actually what I'm saying. I'm not saying it would be unethical, because I'm not judging it. I've never judged it. I just produce and help facilitate for people to have a space. But there is a reality of what it is for me to step up in these spaces, because I've worked within this field for so much. I wouldn't say it's unethical, but I don't need it, and I don't need it to do what I do. And I'm aware of me stepping into that and how other people in the community then step away. That doesn't bring inclusion. So I can completely happily stay where I am and create space for other people, because I don't need it.
Absolutely. Dean Akuri, it is always wonderful to hear your voice on 3CR. Really appreciate your time and also your candidness. And you're at Gay Dream Island. Quickly tell us about that.
Yes, Planet Dwellers have organised a fabulous queer weekend where they've done a weekend-long takeover of the Daydream Island. It's called Gay Dream Island, and it's amazing queer weekend here with community. Right now in the background, I don't know if you can hear, there's some amazing live music being played at the lovely, we're calling it the Lesbian Lookout, where the sun is coming down, and it's really beautiful. And it's just a weekend of queer community in the sun.
Fantastic. Dean, always great to hear your voice. Thanks for your time, the Savo.
No worries. Have a lovely day.
You too. Cheers. Bye. The wonderful Dean Akuri there.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.